All right, summer starting to wind down. Mercer County played Fulton at 7-on-7 at Pratt Memorial Field on Wednesday, July the 31st. You've been coming down here for a while, Coach Pat Lohr. Why is that?
Well, one thing, selfishly, it's my hometown, so I really like to come home and let you know our kids see Mercer County football field, George Pratt Memorial Field, the history of it all. Also, it gets us away from Fulton and kind of gets us a day to spend together, kind of a bonding thing. We don't do any overnight camps anywhere, any team camps like that, where we travel. So this is kind of our day of travel. We'll stop and get a buffet there at Happy Joe's on the way home and head home and have camp tonight. But it's just a good time to get away for the day. And we've had nice weather most of the time that we're down here, and just a real enjoyable time and real good, like I said, a good bonding good bonding system for our kids.
All right. So I know it's always hit close to home for you when you've come down here, being a graduate in 94. What was it like, though, today to see your son, who's going to be a sophomore, actually play on this field?
Well, it's kind of interesting, to be honest with you. We had told him that as a backup quarterback, he's going to get some reps towards the end here, and he did that. And he did fine. He made the good reads and the right reads and delivered the ball where he needed to. I think on the way home, and tonight we'll probably talk a little bit about that, him being on the field where I got to play and had so many good memories of playing football. But I know the kids on the sidelines were giving him a little crap here and there about being back here in Aledo and Patrick Lohr on the field. But it was good for him, and most importantly, it was good for him to get some reps.
All right, so as we get ready to cover Orion and Rock Ridge on the Three Rivers Conference, I'll call it the small school side, I always get the Mississippi and Rock mixed up. So what is that? Give me the thumbnail sketch. I know Newman is still Newman, but I'm kind of under the impression that kind of the six other teams, it's going to be interesting to see kind of how everything shakes out. So what about your side of the league that includes Orion and Rock Ridge?
You know, I think I think I give the same answer every year because I think it's very appropriate. I think you just got to go week by week and see. It happened to Rock Ridge last year where they had an injury and they kind of it took them a while to get going, and they made it to the second round of the playoffs and did a great job when Riley came back. So I think really it just depends on what team can stay healthy and what team can kind of stay out of trouble that way. So much a small school now, and going to the one game on Friday night type of thing is on what kind of depth you have. And if you get the wrong injury to the right kid, so to speak, you could be in trouble. So I think the team that stays the healthiest, other than that, I think, you know, basically it's the same thing every Friday night. You can't look ahead. You just got to be ready and focused on that team. And I think if you do that, I know that's a way we really focus. I don't follow any social media from any other coach or any other school in our conference because I don't want to read any of that. I just want to focus on us, and that's what we really try to plead to the kids, is just focus on getting better every day, and like today, being able to go home tonight saying that we got better today, and if we can do that, then hopefully, you know, we can be in the thick of things. But we got to stay healthy, that's for sure.
Do you like the playing only the one game on Friday night with the one play, one equals one game type of thing, or are you worried about how that potentially could impact Friday nights with not having a JV game? You know, a lot of leagues are accustomed to playing the one game now, but still, you know, the track, they've been trying to play, you know, the JV and varsity game the same night. Now, I understand some schools might try to do a freshman preliminary game, but that's not JV. So what is your opinion of that?
I think, you know, as a head coach, the one thing I do like about it is whether we decide to play at 7 or 7:30, I'm not sure exactly when, we know that game is going to start then. There's been so many times over the years where you go in and get dressed and pretty soon you got to hurry up and get everything taped up and get run through your stuff because it's a 40-point running clock at the sophomore game, or you hurry up and both teams end up passing a bunch and you're sitting there waiting forever. I know last year we went to Monmouth Roseville to play Jeremy. We were waiting. I don't think our varsity game got started until like 8:15. The one thing I do like about it is the scheduled, so we can have some sort of itinerary where we're on the field at 6, at 6:15 specials come out, and that kind of a thing. So the structure of it I like, and it's going to be a shock, especially for our conference, because our conference has been for, 20-plus plus years that I've been up there, you know, we have a sophomore game, fresh soft game, and then the varsity game. So one game potentially on a Friday night is going to be different. But on the plus side, if we have to go to Princeton like we do week one, we're getting home a little bit sooner than what we normally would. So I think there's some benefits to it, but it'll definitely be a shock, especially up where we are.
And then I just want basketball official in the off season, so I wanted to get an official perspective from the football rule this year, because there's a little confusion regarding the interpretation of how it's going to be applied. So we're going from a 25-second play clock to a 40-second play clock. Now, I'm going to add, so initially, with the 25-second play clock last year, the ball would be spotted, and then the official would have to signal when to roll the 25-second play clock. Now, my understanding, as I hear it, with the 40-second play clock, once the play is over, the 40-second clock is set. It's not a ball-spotted type of situation, and then the 40-second rolls. Now, I know the application of it when you're trying to maybe bleed out a game if you're leading, it's going to be interesting to see how that plays out. But can you, I guess, discuss the impact? Well, I mean, what do you think the impact of that will be? Will it have much of an impact? Because, you know, we talk about the rule last year is you had to wait till the ball to be spotted, right, then roll, and that could take more than 25 seconds and all be all. What do you think the impact is going to be on game management, I guess, and if my interpretation is wrong, correct me on that.
I think the one thing is I think it's going to speed up the game a little bit for sure. I think as soon as the ball's in play and it's blown dead, the previous play is blown dead, you've got the back judge. I'm assuming it's going to be the back judge. We'll start the 40-second clock. I think it could be tough on maybe some play callers that kind of wait and see where the ball is, see what hash they're on, see down and distance to kind of, you know, before they call a play, and maybe the times where they start with one play and then something comes to them in the middle of that play and they decide to go with another play. So you got to be a little cleaner as a play caller, and that's something that could bite some people, I suppose. But I think overall, I think it's going to be a good thing, because it's just going to keep everybody on pace and everybody going, because there's some, you know, every football crew you get is different, and some guys will take it seems like forever in between plays, and a team, you know, for like a, you know, a Sterling Newman who just pounds a ball at you 3 yards in a cloud of dust type stuff, if you have the right crew, they can waste 6-7 minutes just only getting one or two first downs. And so now with the 40 seconds, it's going to be more of a priority. And there'll be a lot more eyes on that back judge doing the visual signal of the last 5 seconds as well. So I think if you're pretty organized in your play calling and you kind of have an idea what you want to do, I don't think it's going to be much of a change. But maybe some of these guys that just kind of go by the seat of their pants with when the way they call plays, I think that was what's going to hurry them up a little bit, and it could cause some confusion and some early timeouts, that's for sure.
Well, and I know small schools don't have the luxury of having the play clock at both end zones where you can see it. So, but I'm talking about these situations where it's 16-12,
right,
and there's 3 minutes left to go, and you're leading, and you're trying to bleed out the clock.
Yeah.
Impacting that type of stuff, where you have the advantage. You have a little more. Do you think that 40-second is a little more advantageous than the old 25-second?
Yes and no. Like we talked off air, every crew has their own speed of how they work. And I know they work a little faster when they know you're trying to bleed the clock and the defense doesn't have any timeouts and they're trying to get the ball back. But I know, you know, like what we will do is we'll make sure we have somebody on our sidelines with a stopwatch, making sure we know exactly. And before every game, even though it's going to be clear by the time we start week one, I will talk with the officials like we always do, and I will make sure I know when they are starting the clock, so I can tell my assistant when to start it, so we know exactly when we have it. And it just goes back to being organized and communicating with your sideline.
All right, we'll let you get to Happy Joe's. Enjoy your lunch. Thanks for talking with me.
All right, thank you very much.
Pat Lower with us on WRMJ.